I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Josh Levine. My podcast, The Queen, tells the story of Linda Taylor. She was a con artist, a kidnapper, and maybe even a murderer. She was also given the title The Welfare Queen, and her story was used by Ronald Reagan to justify slashing aid to the poor. Now, it's time to hear her real story. Over the course of 4 episodes, you'll find out what was done to Linda Taylor, what she did to others, and what was done in her name.
The great lesson of this, for me, is that people will come to their own conclusions based on what their prejudices are.
Subscribe to The Queen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening right now.
If there was ever any question, even a single question, there is no more. Russia attacked the United States of America.
I mean, this is right out of a James Bond novel.
We are seeing evidence of a conspiracy.
But this is a hugely significant turning point. You think about all the times we've heard the president say, who knows what happened. Well, Bob Mueller and Rod Rosenstein today are saying they know, and it was Russia.
Hello and welcome to TrumpCast, the show about the man who committed the faux pas of offering to pay for sex to someone who wasn't selling it, Donald Trump. I'm Jacob Weisberg. Well, we weren't going to do a show today before this Friday afternoon of a holiday weekend, but once again, news intervened. And joining me on the line is Kate Brannon. She's an editor at the Just Security blog. Kate, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
I want to talk to you about the indictments, the new Mueller indictments. First, these 13 Russians who doesn't sound like are going to be standing trial anytime in the United States. What's this all about, indicting these people?
According to the indictment, these 13 Russian nationals were involved in the interference operation that took place during the 2016 election that we knew about from the intelligence community's assessment. But today's indictment adds so much more sort of color and detail to what we already knew. We know much more about the scope and sophistication and just some like kind of haunting details about the specifics of it. For me, one thing that really stood out was like, this isn't just about cyber activities. I mean, they organized political rallies. They paid Americans to do certain things at various rallies. I mean, it was far more complex and on the ground than I think that we were aware of before. And so I believe 12 of the Russian nationals named worked at this company called the Internet Research Agency, which is based in St. Petersburg, which carried out...
This is St. Petersburg, Russia, not St. Petersburg, Florida.
Exactly right, in Russia. Carried out the, you know, a lot of the online stuff, like the troll stuff, the Twitter accounts, the Facebook, the Instagram. And then I think the 13th Russian national named was more involved in the funding of the actual project.
Right. So we have this troll factory, this bot factory, the shadowy internet research agency. What do we know about them now that we didn't know yesterday? What were they doing that we have more detail about?
We know that as far back, because of this indictment, we know that as far back as 2014, they set their sights on the U.S. presidential election. That's new. We know that.
So they were at that point, they weren't, Trump wasn't running. So they were they supporting the Republican? Were they operating against Hillary Clinton? What did that, when they started the operation, what did they think they were going to do in 2014?
From the outset, the goal was to sort of sow discord and distrust in the U.S. election system, in the, you know, in certain candidates. But you're absolutely right. They hadn't yet picked, I mean, they couldn't have picked Trump as their guy, because it was another year till he announced that he was running. Maggie Haberman pointed out on Twitter today that there were news stories at the time that he was considering running as far back as 2014. Around the time that this got started, but you know, that aside, it was really about sowing discord and sowing division in the U.S. and distrust in sort of U.S. democratic systems.
The goal was to fuck us up. The goal was, plainly put, was to fuck up the election one way or the other, or
yeah,
multiple ways.
And there are a lot of details in the indictment that show, you know, I think Trump on some level thinks like, Russia helped me out, but he should, if he reads this indictment, which he probably won't in full, you know, he could see that this isn't just about him. There's indications that the Russians supported Senator Sanders in his race against Hillary Clinton. They supported a third party candidate, whether that's Jill Stein later on. Then after the election, they funded an anti-Trump rally. So, you know, it's not about Donald Trump. It's about division and distrust and discord.
Well, he's already been tweeting that it was obviously in 2014. He says not about him. But in acknowledging that, isn't he now accepting that there was Russian interference of a kind that until now he hasn't really acknowledged? He's been in denial about this.
He has. He only kind of admits to it when his back is up against a wall. And that is true of other administration officials as well. They kind of take every opportunity they can to confuse the issue or deny it. I noticed just this week, CIA Director Mike Pompeo was on Capitol Hill testifying before the Senate. And they were asking about Russian interference. And, you know, he pointed, well, you know, there's also the Iranian and Chinese cyber threats. So there's multiple times the administration tries to sort of point you in the other direction. But I mean, without a doubt, this makes it a lot harder for Trump himself to call the idea that the Russians interfered in the election a hoax or a democratic scheme. So that's sort of one thing that this indictment does today.
So how do you read the purpose of this indictment? What does Robert Mueller think he's doing? I mean, is this an illustrative indictment where he's trying to tell the story of what happened? Is this add political pressure on to Trump that you can see? Because it doesn't seem like this is the kind of indictment that's likely to result in an actual prosecution. These people are sitting in Russia. They're not going to be extradited. It's pretty unlikely to result in an actual trial, right?
Right. And I try not to pretend to know what Robert Mueller is thinking. But I do think it sets up kind of the seriousness of what the Russians were up to, which obviously Trump has tried to muddy the waters on. I think even his tweet today where he said this had no impact on the election results continues to downplay the seriousness of what the indictment is detailing. But it sets up a number of crimes that were committed on the part of the Russians, from identity fraud to, you know, violations of the Foreign Agents Registration Act. And then I think importantly, also campaign finance laws. You know, you're not supposed to accept money from a foreign agent to further your campaign or your election. And that clearly happened here, although according to this indictment, the people involved in this indictment today, the Americans involved, it was unwitting sort of cooperation with the Russians. They didn't know that they were talking to Russians, and the Russians took extreme measures to sort of mask their identities. So it sets up, I think, if down the road, if it turns out that any member of the Trump campaign knew about this, was involved in it, participated in it, I mean, it now is criminal activity that we're talking about, and we have a much more sense of what the sort of scope of this operation was.
Right. So if there was collusion, it was collusion in a crime, an indicted offense.
Yeah.
Last weekend, Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein had a piece saying basically get ready for another Saturday Night Massacre. They have some authority on all Watergate analogies. Do you think reading this that Rod Rosenstein's job just got a little safer or a little less safe?
That's a really good question. On the one hand, the fact that he had to go out and do this is probably not going to win him any favors with the president. That said, he did go out of his way, I noticed, to say that none of the allegations in the indictment indicate that any American knowingly cooperated, which Trump has seized on and Sean Hannity has seized on to say no collusion. And then he also said that no allegation in the indictment imply that the charged conduct altered the outcome of the election, which I think was really an extra step that he took.
How can he say that? How can anyone say that? I mean, that it's an imponderable, right? We have no evidence that it did or didn't affect the outcome of the election.
Totally. So it's not untrue to say that. There's nothing in the indictment that specifically says votes changed because of this. That said, you just could never measure the impact of these kinds of activities. Obviously, on some level, they do work to undermine the election, and that was the whole point. And that's the whole point of the investigation. And so I thought that by saying that, that to me seemed quite a nice sort of throwaway to Trump that I'm sure Trump was pleased to hear him say. So maybe he did, score a few points with that today.
You've read the indictment. As you said, the president's probably not going to be reading it, but give us some of the favorite gory details. They hired an actor to play Hillary Clinton in jail. I mean, there's some kind of Slavic weirdness in here.
Yeah, that one really gave me goosebumps. So they paid an American actress to go to a rally and stand in a prison cage. And I think on multiple times they sort of paid people to build these prison cages for these rallies. They paid people to hold signs up about, Hillary go to prison. For me, also, it was that I think it said by July 2016, they had 80 employees working at the Internet Research Agency, specifically on the U.S. election. They said they had a list. They were also keeping sort of a list of Americans that they'd recruited to spread whatever disinformation they were looking to spread. And I think it was up to 100, or maybe it was more than that. But they were clearly measuring sort of the impact and the scope that they were reaching. And then this project, the operation was called Project Lochte, and it wasn't clear to me if that was specifically the U.S. I think it was even a broader, because they mentioned that Project Lochte reached into other countries as well.
Project Lochte?
I think it's Lahkta.
Not like the potato pancakes.
Right.
It's the Project Humintoshen that's really dangerous.
Right. But that reached, I think it was $1 million a month was the budget for it. So I think the amount of money being spent was definitely more than we previously were aware of. The number of people assigned to this, was pretty big. So those were the things that stood out to me.
And what about the American accomplices? As you say, they had at least unwitting Americans helping them do something illegal, which as foreigners spending money and intervening in an American election. I mean, if some of these Americans knew who they were accepting payment from or who they were working for, aren't they subject to charges too?
That's a good question. They definitely aren't at the moment, and we don't know that they will be. It's possible that, that they will cooperate with the Mueller investigation. I think because they didn't know that they were communicating with Russians, that's what this indictment says at least, that for the most part, for the Americans being discussed in this particular indictment, they did not know that they were working with Russians. They were unwittingly cooperating. They were, whether it was taking payments or spreading information about rallies that were coming up, whatever it was, they thought that they were working with American political activists. The way I see it is this is like a big picture. This is the big picture of what was going on during the election at the grassroots level on the ground versus anything having to do with the Trump campaign higher-ups headquarters. I just think that they're not part of what we're learning about today. And the Trump and his supporters have sort of seized on that to say, there you go, no collusion. I just think that it's not being addressed in this. This is about something related but different.
Well, as you say, it could be laying the groundwork. It could be a step on the way to collusion charges. It certainly doesn't exonerate anybody from collusion.
Right. And one thing that came to mind when I was reading this was the Don Jr. emails that set up the Trump Tower meeting in June 2016. If you remember those, Rob Goldstone emails him and says, we have something we want to talk to you about. It's part of Russia's overall effort to support your father or something like that. And at the time, people thought, well, that kind of sounds like that's something, that's a known fact that he's talking about the way he's sort of addressed it in this email. And I was reminded of that today. Now we know the extent of which and the sophistication of the Russian effort to support Donald Trump, and that, you know, alluding to that, Rob Goldstone could have been alluding to that in this email to Don Jr., who knows, but it seemed pertinent.
There was one other development today. There was a plea agreement, another one, from someone named Richard Pinedo. What do we know about him?
It seems that he was involved in identity fraud and, I think he sold fake bank accounts, and that those were used by the indicted Russians to fund their various projects in the U.S., whether it was paying somebody to go to a rally or, you know, any number of things that they were funding here. They were using these fake bank accounts that they were buying off him. And so he's pleaded guilty to that and is now cooperating with Mueller and the investigation. So that was sort of this separate small plea deal. I mean, it could be more significant than that. I just don't know yet, but that
it seems like it's related to the other charges, though, that he's someone who was enabling some of this Russian activity and is now offering his testimony to Mueller about that.
Yes. And I think I saw his lawyer said he had no idea basically who he was selling to.
It's amazing about this investigation, isn't it, Kay, that we just don't know what's going to happen next. I mean, nobody was expecting these indictments or indictments of this kind necessarily at any point. They really have been holding their cards as close to the vest as you possibly can.
Totally. I mean, they don't leak. I think that that's pretty clear. And so I think when there are leaks, like, you know, this point's been making, it's not coming from the Mueller camp.
So what's next? There's no, we can't get these people. We can't try them. These indictments sit there and we wait for another piece of the puzzle?
I think so. It looks so. I think the other sort of, there are a few other big things that happened in Mueller land this week. Bannon interviewed for, I think, 20 hours. That was probably very interesting. Mark Corallo, who was, for a hot second, I believe, Trump's legal team's spokesperson, and he resigned last summer around the Trump Tower reporting time. And so he interviewed with Mueller's team this week as well. And then it looks like Rick Gates, who's Manafort's partner, business partner, who has already been indicted by Mueller, is about to flip. At least that's what the reporting suggests.
That would be a big deal because he knows where Manafort's bodies are buried in Ukraine.
Totally. Yeah. And so, I mean, the thinking goes that if he flips, the pressure definitely goes up on Manafort. And if the pressure goes up on Manafort, the pressure goes up on Trump. For me, just those three little signals, I mean, who knows what they'll actually lead to. But at the same time, anyone that suggests this is almost over when Bannon just gave 20 hours worth of testimony, I mean, it kind of goes against common sense.
Oh, yes, exactly. Doesn't sound quite like they're wrapping up.
No.
I've been speaking to Kate Brannon of the Just Security blog. Kate, thanks for joining me at the end of a long week.
Thanks so much.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
That's it for today's show. Follow us at Real Trumpcast to make sure you don't miss any shows. We'll be back next week to talk about Karen McDougal, David Pecker, and more on the Russia scandal. I'm Jacob Weisberg. Thanks for listening to Trumpcast.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.